the one thing, you know, we've been talking to a lot of players about most recently is how comfortable now, more so than ever, and we've seen plenty of evidence the past week and a half, 2 weeks of this, of players not being shy about speaking their minds about societal issues, issues that affect all of us. Do you think this is now, because we've always heard, you know, stay in your lane, just play hockey, don't be a distraction. It seems as if, Logan, that's all out the window. Do you think this is here to stay, where players feel more comfortable about commenting on things that aren't icings and offsides?
I guess we'll see. That's a tough question. I mean, the way that social media works today, if you say something, you're going to have a lot of people that are going to be angry at you, then you'll have half the people that'll like you. I mean, it's all up to individuals. I think out here in San Jose, the way this organization has been, they encourage us to speak our minds and be ourselves. So for me personally, it was an easy decision. I think what Evander has done with this movement, and he's always supported the Black community, obviously, and I think for us as players out here in San Jose, we can do a better job in supporting him and helping him out. So that's the main reason I made that statement.
And good for you for it. Berkey.
Hey, Logan, it's Berkey. Thanks for doing this.
No worries.
We're big on multi-sport athletes on this show. We're concerned about the notion that hockey players are playing hockey 12 months to the exclusion of other sports. You were an outstanding multi-sport athlete, and your family was as well. Tell us about that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think young kids should be playing multiple sports, not just one or two. When I grew up, I mean, I played in elementary school basketball, volleyball, and then the more serious sports were baseball until I was 14 and lacrosse until I was 10. And lacrosse was big in my family. I think everyone was disappointed when I decided to quit it. My dad was a ref in the National Lacrosse League for, I think, 12 years. My mom played on the Canadian field lacrosse team, and my grandfather's in the Canadian Lacrosse Hall of Fame. And my uncle is currently the vice president of the National Lacrosse League. So the ties are thick to lacrosse. But for me, I mean, growing up playing multiple sports, I'm sorry, was big, and you know, hand-eye coordination, stuff like that. So I was glad that I played baseball and lacrosse to a later age.
Justin?
Logan, just looking at your NHL career to date, you played 715 regular season games and 116 playoff games. You know, you are accustomed to having been in the playoffs, been on successful teams, playing late into the season. This season was different for the San Jose Sharks, and this season, you know, you're wearing a C for San Jose. How are you speaking up in the room? I guess, how did it feel this season being on a team that wasn't as successful and being someone probably in a position where you felt like you needed to speak more than maybe did in previous years?
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, there's no other way around it. It was a difficult, frustrating season, I think, for us as an organization, us as a team, and individually in our room. A lot of guys were upset with how the season went, and I think for me personally, there's a lot that I can learn and a lot that I think I'll improve on being the captain. Going into the year, I said I wasn't going to change, and I was just going to be myself and continue to be the player in person I have been for 11 years, because there's so many guys that I've played with here in San Jose that know me, and if I changed and tried to do something different, I think it would just come off as fake. But I think for us, this offseason is going to be very important for a lot of guys individually. There's going to be a long break for us. It could be 8-9 months without a game. So guys really need to work hard, be prepared for next season. And I think our motivation for us out here is going to be extremely high. And I think we have a lot of people that we need to prove wrong next year.
No doubt. We all understand everyone on the San Jose Sharks is certainly going to be motivated for next season whenever that begins. And I do wonder, Logan, because, listen, you know better than I do, you're a player. Players get in a rhythm, and they've been in a rhythm pretty much their entire lives. And at a certain point in the summer, they start picking up the workouts, and they change, and it's more on the ice and getting ready for training camp. This is going to be different this summer. How does it change for you? Like, what do you do differently this summer than you've done previous?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's just so much unknown right now. Even June 5th, whatever the date is. There's so much unknown. If this season's going to come back, if next season's going to start, in November, December, January, no one knows. So I have been in constant contact with our trainer in San Jose, and he's doing a plan for us as a team, and then he's doing some individual plans for guys depending on ages and injuries and stuff like that. So we've got a plan out here with skating schedules and workout schedules that I feel comfortable with.
Berkey?
So I asked Doug Wilson. We had him on the show the other day, but I texted him this morning and said, tell me about Logan Couture. What do you think he's going to say, good things or bad things, Logan?
I hope they're good things. It could be a little of both. Who knows?
No. He said he loves the game, plays hurt. He said that you've missed games due to injury, but it'd be way more than that for a lot of other guys. He said you step up in the playoffs, and certainly your playoff scoring that Justin alluded to, you're definitely a money player, and he said he loves having you on his team. That's pretty high praise from a guy. But he also pointed out that you both played for the same junior coach. And you both played for Killer.
Did.
Talk about Killer.
Killer is awesome. I don't think he gets enough credit that he deserves for the length that he was with one organization, the amount of players that he brought into that system in Ottawa. And, they turned into NHL players, and a lot of them turned into NHL stars. Just the way that Killer, I mean, not even hockey, just the way that I grew up under Killer and around him every day. He made come to the rink fun. He was always in a jokey mood. I mean, he has his side where he gets upset and angry with you, but he means well. I learned so much from Killer, and he meant so much to my hockey career and to my life, really. It'd be tough to say that I'm sitting in this spot right now without 4 years under Brian Kilray.
And just as a quick junior hockey follow-up, we've talked to more players recently, and this has become more of a thing, although it's always been a thing in junior hockey, about players buying junior hockey teams. Players, as we all know, have an emotional attachment to their junior squad. As you and Berkey were just talking about, you play with the Ottawa 67s. Have you ever either been approached or considered buying a junior team?
I haven't been approached. I work out and skate a bunch with Drew Doughty, and he's mentioned it as something that he may look into doing in the future. And then Bob Bugner, I believe, had ownership in Windsor for a while, and he was our
still
coach
does.
Out here. So
yeah, does.
I don't know. I personally don't know if it's something I would get into, but I see how players would want to be interested.
Justin?
Logan, we've heard your thoughts, being one of the first guys to speak out the Black Lives Matter protests and just generally in hearing your interviews, you seem like a thoughtful, open-minded guy. So I wonder if how you've thought about how the NHL, how hockey's played in the NHL, or at least how you play within the NHL has changed over the course of your career. Do you think differently about hockey or how you want to play, or do you feel still like it's the same and you're the same guy as it was when you came in 11 years ago?
No, the game changes. I mean, the NHL game changes in my mind, every 3 or 4 years it goes through different cycles. And when I first came in, I mean, it's such a copycat league, at least in San Jose. Our coach was Tom McClellan, coming from the Detroit system. And a lot of our systems were, kind of copying Detroit, whether it was the power play or, systems in the neutral zone. And you see all those coaches that branch out from under Mike Babcock, and they go to different teams and they start playing that system, and that system starts working. Those teams get success, and then it changes. It's crazy, and it makes me appreciate guys like Joe Thornton, Patrick Marleau that have played 20 years, and they've played through these, four or five of these changes in the league, and they're still successful players.
Thornton's a fascinating guy. I think we all love Joe, and it's a better game. The NHL is better when Joe Thornton is involved in it. Two things. One, what did you learn from Joe Thornton as a leader with the San Jose Sharks? And two, were you surprised he got rid of the beard?
I could talk to you for hours if you're asking what I learned from Jumbo, but I'll knock down just a couple of them. One is his love and passion for the game of hockey. That's every single day he comes into our facility. Usually he's one of the first three or four. He's laughing, he's smiling, regardless of, if we're going through a tough time. And, obviously he wears it, and he gets frustrated when losses happen. He gets upset, but the next day he's in there and he's ready to work. And Every optional, he's on the ice. He's working hard. He's taking young guys under his wing, and he's working with different guys on different things. And there's just so much with Jumbo, and he's meant so much to me. He's meant so much to this organization out here in San Jose. We're so lucky to have him. I'm so lucky to have played with him for so long. You know, he's set me up numerous times on the ice, and he's taught me a lot off the ice. And then with the beard, I don't know. I know that his daughter really wanted him to get rid of it. I think his son really loved it. So it was probably a push and pull battle that they had over there. But I think he looks good without it. He looks a little bit younger for sure.
Yeah, draft eligible. Joe Thornton all over again coming out of Sault Ste. Marie. Berkey, go ahead.
April 24th, 2019. Logan, the craziest hockey game I've ever watched.
Oof.
You guys are playing Vegas. Major penalty assessed. Tell us about that game.
Yeah. Still vivid memories of it. It's weird. The only vivid memories I have, though, are from the 10-minute mark of the third period on. I don't really remember the first 50 minutes of that game, falling behind 3-0, but just a wild, wild night. You know, looking back, I think a lot of us can say that, you know, it probably isn't a 5-minute major, but we still took advantage of the call. You know, there's not many times where teams are going to go out and score 4 goals on a 5-minute penalty. We went out and did that. So that can never be taken away from us, even if people disagree with the call. But the building was unbelievably loud. I've said this a few times in interviews in the past. To compare it to something is like if you go to a nightclub and you sit beside the speaker for 3 hours straight, and then you leave and you go outside. That's what it felt like after the third period. When we went into the room, my ears were still ringing. You could see someone talking to you, but you could barely hear them. That's just how loud it was in that building. And then to win it in overtime with Barclay Goodrow, who was only on his second shift, I believe, in overtime with 2 minutes left, was a remarkable story. And a funny thing about that, my dad was at that game, and Barclay Goodrow's dad also flew in, and they were seated, I believe, side by side or close to each other. And after the goal went in, my dad jumped up and was like, "That was Goody. That was your son." And Goody's dad had no idea. He's like, "There's no way he's out on the ice in overtime." just an awesome night. So much fun.
That's fantastic. Justin.
So looking at your team, and I know you said earlier you guys are disappointed with how things went, but it doesn't really feel like a team where you look at the roster and go, well, that's a team in trouble for a long time. I mean, with Kane and LeBanc and Burns and Carlson and Vlasic and yourself, like the Thornton, like you guys have a team there. What is the sense for, you know, next season when you guys get the chance to come back? Is it a matter of, like, you feel like you got the horses, you just have to play better, or is there something bigger that needs to change with the group?
Yeah, no, we need to play better. I mean, it's plain and simple. We had a very tough, not up to par start of the season. Our training camp wasn't that good. Our preseason, we were getting spanked most nights. And then first two games we played Vegas, and it wasn't even close. Obviously, they had motivation from the way that the last season had ended, and we just didn't match it. I mean, I hate making excuses. It is tough to start a season when you go far in the playoffs, but we needed to be better, and we all know that. We need to get off to a good start. Obviously, it was different for me to have a coach fired mid-season too. I think everything that could have went wrong last year, and now it's up to us as players in that room. I believe we have the pieces to compete. It's up to us to put it together and get off to a good start next year.
You know, there are a lot of big personalities, big name players on the San Jose Sharks team. You mentioned Joe Thornton. You want to throw Brent Burns into that equation, yourself, Erik Karlsson. There are a lot of superstar names on your San Jose Sharks team. Who are the players? I've always felt that Thomas Hertl doesn't get enough credit. Who are some of the players that you think, as, you know, players that get sort of cast in the shadow of some of the greats that are on your team?
Yeah, that's the guy right there, Thomas Hertl. I think he, you know, at times throughout the last couple of years, has been our best player for long stretches, and he rarely gets talked about. Big, strong guy, holds on to the puck well. I remember there's one game against Pittsburgh, he had a hat trick, and if you guys can ever watch the highlight of him against Malkin in the corner, he shrugged Malkin off, walked to the net, and that's just how good he is. So he's one guy for people on the East Coast, or people that don't ever watch the San Jose Sharks. I think this is just spend some time watching Thomas Hertl play, because it's worth it.
Is he also the funniest man in the NHL?
He's one of the funniest men. I've sat beside him. We've had stalls beside each other since he came into the league, and him and I have had a pretty solid relationship. He's one of my best friends on the team through hockey. So him and I get along. He's always laughing, always having a good time.
Yeah,
he makes the room fun for sure.
Media guys love him. Trust me, Berkey. Go ahead.
Yeah, it just took away the question I was going to ask about. But I wanted to talk. You played in junior. Talk about playing with Brian Bickell and Jamie McGinn. They were two pretty good teammates.
Yeah, I played with some very good teammates in junior. Ginner was my line mate for a few years. And he had a solid NHL career. Unfortunately, he ran into some injuries, and that ended it a little premature. And Bix was the same, just big, strong, could shoot the puck. I remember him scoring from near the blue line on his wrist shot many times in junior. He just overpowered goalies. And same with him. I mean, premature career, obviously, with what he's going through, but he won a cup or two in Chicago and turned out to be a good player.
Justin?
So, Logan, what's the plan now? Like, you got 9 months before, you know, hockey, from when you last played to when you likely will next. How do you get your body ready to peak in, I guess, January? Maybe you welcome this break, being that you've been around the league for a long time. How do you move forward during this downtime?
Yeah, I don't think there's any one good answer. I think a lot of guys are going to be, you know, doing different things and trying different things. It's new to everyone. And, you know, for me, I took a few weeks off when it first happened. But I've been working out, you know, relatively hard. Our trainer sent us our program a couple weeks ago. So I've started to pick it up, and I think I'm just going to work it like it's two off seasons. Get skating in a month or so and then take a little break and then get going again. I think that's probably the best way for me to approach it.